Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting
hand. God's favor. We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a
hand,
remembering God's favor.
And welcome once again, our beautiful radio listening audience, to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, The Reality of the Creator. Thank you again for joining us this morning. We have such a beautiful Sunday morning here, and I just read over Facebook where it's snowing. Someone said, on the messenger, someone sent a message that they are enjoying the snow. We have weather that's being loved all over the world today, but I love this cold, sunshiny day and brisk cold in the wintertime, and that's what's happening here where we are, and I am so glad to have you join us as we have prepared for you another beautiful discussion this morning on an issue that may make some of you feel uncomfortable, but we all must be consciously aware of, because that's the only true reality and true goal that we all have. And that's return one day to our Creator, who blessed us to be a part of this world. And so, as such, we have to be reminded at times that we all have an interview with death. We have been discussing this subject now for the last couple of Sundays, and this is what we call part three. Interestingly enough, people seem to really enjoy the reminder, enjoy the discussion, because it brings us to an awareness that of life that we would not think about otherwise. And so they enjoy seeing that From death comes everything, and to death returns everything. All creation. People, death interviews us until we die. This interview is about how you are living your life in this world. So all of you do, and all that you do and say in this world is very important, because your life in this world is preparing you to meet the one who gave you this job. This is no easy or small job. This is the greatest job of your life, because if you don't work at doing this job well at all times, you will not get a good paycheck, and only a good paycheck will get you in heaven. But understand, people, this work is good and righteous work. So don't think that working in evilness and wickedness is going to get you a good paycheck. Evil and wickedness will get you a bad paycheck. And this bad paycheck will earn you the hellfire. Your employee is Allah, the Almighty God. He is the one who has your paycheck waiting for you at the day of judgment. So, people, you will get what you have earned by your work in this life, good or bad. And your pay will be the eternal heaven or the eternal hellfire. So, now that you understand this reality, you must choose which you want. But just remember, it is your personal choice. As you can see, we're going to have really a very, very exciting and good discussion today with our Imam Shahid Shabazz, who I will bring on. And again, Imam Shahid Shabazz has been working diligently for over 40 years, almost 50 years now he's been on his journey. traveling the road, the byway and pathway, sideways, up and down, live, wherever. He's been there trying to reach the people. He wants to be in paradise, in heaven. He's ducking all he can to avoid the hellfire by passing the message on to you and living to be an example of the will of the Creator. And so, without any further delay, I will give to you Imam Shahid Shabab. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How you doing?
Fine, alhamdulillah, just fine. Wonderful. It's just
good,
a blessing
good,
to be
good
here again.
It is a blessing to indeed be here today. Today is like the beginning of our life, and today is like the last day of our life, if you understand what real life is. Because, why do I say that? I say that because people, we're living in a world that is not real. We're living in a world that's transitory. We're living in a world that is really Allah or the Creator say is a magician. A magician is a deceiver. So in essence, Allah, the Creator, say we're living in a world full of deceptions. He said everything in this world is a deception, beginning with yourself. There's something called self-deception. And most people right now, the Creator, Allah, say are self-deceived. Why? Because they're trying to make the things that they see real. They're trying to make the things they see gods. And they have forgotten about the one that created all this beautiful creation. They call themselves beautiful. But Prophet Muhammad, the prayer and the peace be upon him, said, Allah or the Creator is beauty. And I was telling a young man just now in Walmart, and we were talking about this, and he was so amazed to know that, you know, he too, I'm proud of the young people now, especially African Americans. They're beginning to seek knowledge. Like Al Hajj or Malcolm X said, we're living in a new time now, a new day where the young people ain't going for that old okey-doke, all them old okey-doke lies that the white man has taught our people for over 400 years. They ain't going for it no more. They got the computers. They're looking up information so that they can understand why it is that we're supposed to be up and out of slavery over 100-some years, and we still see the same conduct of so-called white America against black America, treating us not like second-class citizens, but not like even human beings. So, with that said, we are open with the opening prayer, but that was prayer, because before you can get to know who your Creator is, you must understand that you have a purpose here on this earth beyond the outside, beyond your body, beyond your possessions that you think are yours, you're going to keep forever. So this prayer is called the Mother of the Quran. I want to express it like this. Why is it called the Mother of the Quran? Because every revelation that Almighty God, Allah, revealed to all of his prophets, beginning with Adam, the first prophet, down to the last prophet, Muhammad, they all is in one book. He compiled them all in one book called the Quran. And rightfully given that title in English, the mother of the book, it means the Quran gave birth to all the other revelations the other prophets are taught. Why? Because all the other revelations the prophets taught up until the time of Prophet Muhammad, they were corrupted. People changed it. The leaders changed it so they could rule over the people and like a god, like they're doing today in religion, all religion, and Islam too. So Allah revealed the book that they cannot change. You can't put enough, invent none of your ideologies, anybody, into the Quran. Allah said he have guarded his book. He has protected it from corruption. You cannot be corrupt and read the Quran and get no spiritual guidance from Allah. You will be deaf, dumb, and blind, be like a blind person, a deaf person, with no understanding, you will not get an understanding. So we open with this prayer. Yes, I'm going to say it in Arabic and the best that I can. And we just say this for ourselves. We're not trying to impress those out there among the Muslims that might be listening that always into sounds and into rituals, but the actual practicality of Islam, most of them are not doing. They're doing immoral things, but they want you to be right when you pray. They want you to be right when you speak the Arabic. You think you're going to be judged by how well you speak the Arabic? Huh? No, you're going to be judged by your intentions and your actions, your good or bad actions on the day of judgment. So we say the prayer, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, Ihdina sirata mustaqim, sirata ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim wa dhalin. Amin. We just said, translated into this English language, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise is due to Allah, the God and the Evolver, the creator, the cherisher, and sustainer of all worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master, ruler of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we seek for aid, because you're the only one that can aid us. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom you have guided in your truth and righteousness, and protect us from being of those who go astray from your truth, your righteousness, and your justice. Ameen.
Ameen.
So with that said, people, we just want to say that the topic is ending this day, interview with death. And the creator inspired us to come up with that topic simply because I was at a Kwanzaa celebration last night and I was teaching. And one of the things that the Creator, Allah blessed me to share with the people was that you hear, and we've been hearing for a long time since we supposedly been up out of slavery and accepted this white man's so-called religion of Christianity. Now all other religions in America, really, Christianity dominate them, even Islam. And when I say what I say, you're going to understand this. Oh, yeah, you will. You hear people saying they want to go to heaven. They say you hear Muslims talking about, oh, how Jannah is, and Jannah means heaven in Arabic, right? You hear the Christians talking about heaven and the Jews talking about heaven and how it's going to be and all the beautifulness and wonderfulness of heaven that you really can't really describe in human words because it's beyond our imagination. It's beyond our fathoming. See, so they say, the saying goes like this: everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I asked the people last night, how can you get to heaven if you don't die? See, you're going to die anyway, physically. But most people, like me and the co-hosts always say, and Allah said in the Quran, most people don't believe in the hereafter. They believe in the here and now. So my point is this. Death is calling people fast. Now look around the world. Death is calling. Yes, I told my ex-wife, the co-host, 6 years ago that we was in death time. Yeah, see, Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, said that he created the heavens and the earth and people for a limited term in this world and for justice. Just ends for people to treat each other just. And he said he also created us and develop us and create us. And he says he evolved us or grow us. We supposed to learn what wisdom. What does that mean, people? That means that in your personal life, first and foremost of all, that you need to evaluate your life every day and ask yourself at the end of the day before you retire to bed, how much wisdom have I learned? Now, I want you to understand what true wisdom is, because in this English language, good words can be defined as bad words. Wisdom begins when an individual human being fears to displease or go against the will of the Creator. I just showed with the young man in the store. Why? Because if you go against the laws, the moral laws and boundaries in the heavens and the earth, you will bring destruction automatically on yourself. It ain't a matter of if it's going to happen. It's already decreed. It's just the Creator, he said he extends the rope of forgiveness to people so that they may learn and get it together. He said when he decreed his creation in the heavens and the earth, that he decreed that his mercy prevail over his wrath. So don't think, people, because Allah or the Creator don't punish you for every wrong that you do, and we all, beginning with myself, have done enough wrong, the Creator say that if he was to take us off on the planet, we all would go to hell right now. So the Creator, people, you know, he wants us to understand that, you know, this life is but a prelude. It's just like a preliminary hearing in a courtroom where they're debating on what the sentence is going to be for that person that's on trial. We're on trial here. Every day we're on trial. And death interviews us every day. And Allah, the Creator, tells death to take a lot, some of us, and then he tells death, let them give them a little more time to see if they're going to change. So this is plain teaching, people. You don't have to have no degrees to understand this. What you have to do is have the God-given sense that's already created in you after you're conceived as a baby, and Allah, the Creator, put inspire some of his divine life, eternal life-giving spirit in your heart as a human being. And then he gave us not just life as a body, but he gave us eternal life. So, people, in my conclusion for now, like the Quran said, you have an opportunity to choose good or evil. The Creator, Allah, said he tests us with good and evil by way of trial, just to test our faith to see if we're going to believe in the evil of this world and ourselves, or we're going to believe in his divine goodness. And in my conclusion, I want to end with this. I talked to a lady at the Kwanzaa the other night, and this is so absurd to me to hear somebody say this. I say, how you doing? I'm always speaking to people. I've been blessed with good manners and respect for people, even if they don't respect me. I say, how you doing, ma'am? She said, I'm doing good. I said, I'm doing good, too. She said, how you doing? I said, good. She said, I'm doing better than good. How can you be doing better than good? The Creator is all good. And she say, listen, I'm better than good. First of all, when she said I knew she wasn't doing good at all. Because I is an English word, really, just like the devil. His first name began with an I, Iblis. And our devil in us, a jinn in us, began with an I too. I, my, me. See? So when we say I, we have automatically removed Allah, our Creator, out of the picture, and we're trying to run our life ourselves. And that's truly self-destruction, because the Creator, Allah, say, oh, the good that happens in people's life come from the Allah, the Creator. And he say, oh, the bad, the evil, wickedness that comes in our life come from our own selfish, carnal will, evil, carnal will, and lust for the carnal pleasures, false pleasures of ourselves in this world. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you, Malkir Ichabod. Coming on again with an exciting and strong discussion for you. And we want to thank Allah for him. for his sacrifice and time that he's committed to try to reach you, remind you of who you are, your purpose in life, and what your real goal is and your final goal is. So, people, we want to try to listen carefully to the messages. We have other guests here. I see the board is loaded today. And we're going to give them a chance to comment and give them a chance to also give us their point of view. Thankful. This life, this world that we're living in, and our Creator and our purpose in it. So now I'm going to call a number that has been here since we've been on. And that's, and I know who it is, the beautiful brother again. It's a 336-409-0792. And we want to thank Allah for him. He's constantly supporting us and joining in with us. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Abdul Kareem.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, sister and brother. How are you?
Fine, Brother Abdul Kareem. We always pray for you and pray that you and your family is fine and our Uman also. So thank you for coming on and joining us today. We're excited about what you got to say because we know that you, as I am, we are just instruments. We allow Allah, our Creator, to use us like He used all His creation for the good of mankind and not for the detriment of mankind. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam to abarakatuh. Shukran, alhamdulillah, for the reminder. And the reminder always benefits the believer. And, you know, it was good listening to you talk about, you know, the gathering that you were at yesterday. And, you know, and there were plenty of reminders there in what you said, you know, about thinking about yourself with the I thing and, you know, and people not focusing on the fact that the illusion that this world is all that there is, you know, when we all know that this can't be it. You know, that there has to be much more than this, that Allah, during this winter season that we're in right now, causes trees to go with no leaves and grass to die and the land becomes barren. And then summertime, and then, you know, people also, just because of water, no, because there's snow and there's still water around, but everything is dead because of the cold. And then it gets a little bit warm. And the season changes, and the water brings everything back to life. And Allah says a person who is a thinking man or a thinking woman, a person who uses their brain, would know that Allah brings everything back to life. And He says it in Quran. You know, He says it in Quran that he caused you to die, and then He'll bring you back to life. A verse in Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. How can you disbelieve in Allah, seeing that you were dead and He gave you life? Then He will give you death. Then He will bring you back to life. So you were dead. You didn't exist. And He gave us life. So He brought us to life. We were dead. He brought us to life. Then He will give us death again. So we go to death. Then He will bring us back to life. And then unto Allah we will return at the final end, where we will live in paradise, or we will not live, or we will be in the hellfire, and there will be no life in the hellfire. You will be suffering and in the hellfire forever, and that will be your eternal abode. So we constantly ask, no matter how, you know, you might say, oh, we good, I'm good, or, you know, I'm better than good, like your sister said, you know, you could think you good all you want, but if you're not going to paradise at the end of this, when you have that interview with death, if you're not going to paradise, you're not going to be good. You ain't going to never have seen any good. You're not going to have any thought of any good. There's
That's
not
right.
be any good anywhere near you. You're going to
That's
get
right.
a whiff of that a whiff of that hellfire, and you won't know how to spell good. You won't know what good. You won't know nothing about good. Good wouldn't even be on your vocabulary, because if you get a whoop of that hellfire, believe me, good is going to be a word that you never even knew existed, or
exactly.
we never knew existed if we're not careful. So
that's right.
You know, I I listen to the show and I sign on to this show. And sister, I appreciate you for, you know, saying I support the show. But I get on the show to remind myself and to know that I am not worthy. I need to do more. And no matter how much I do, I can only pray for Allah's mercy on me to get into paradise. So I could go
out here and build a cancer ward
to a hospital and cure cancer if I want to. And that is not going to guarantee me a seat in paradise. Unless Allah has mercy on me, I am not going to get a seat in paradise. And the only way I gain Allah's mercy is by doing stuff that He asked me to do, that He asked me to do first. And after I do that, if I want to do some extra stuff to please Him, as long as it's in accord to what His messengers sent, then I could do that all day. But if I don't do what He asked me to do, and I just do what I feel like doing, I can't ask for His paradise. Okay, I can't ask. All right, the imam, Shaheed can't ask me to come paint his house, and he say I want him to paint this room blue, and I go in there and I say, well, I like red better, and I paint the room red. He's gonna say, brother, I mean, you did a good job painting that room red, but that's not the color I asked you to paint it. And I say, yeah, man, but this was better paint, you know, and it's going to look better if I match the curtains. You're not going to pay me, man, right? Or are you going to pay me?
I'm not going to pay you a dime. That's right.
A dime. And as a matter of fact, you might charge me to get somebody else to come in there and repaint it who's going to listen to me.
Exactly.
Who's going to listen to you,
exactly.
The color you said. And that's just what Allah said He's going to do. We don't do what He says. He can wipe us all out and replace us with people who are going to do what He tells them to do.
That's right. He's done it many times
in the past. We have many examples of entire civilizations that were wiped out because they did what they wanted to do. And
absolutely.
I heard you talk about it on the show before, Sodom and Gomorrah. They did what they wanted to do. This is what we want to do. That's not what Allah asked you to do.
No.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. So I just want to share that. And if you could expand on that, alhamdulillah, because my ears are wide open. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Brother Imam, beautiful, well said. You are very explicit. Through the grace and mercy of Allah, He's blessed you to be very explicit. And I love your humility. I, at the three Kwanzas I've been to here in Winston, I go and I pray before I go and ask Allah to bless me to be humble and, you know, to just take love there where it may not be people there that even know love, like you say, but I ask Allah to bless His love to be so strong in me that even the hardest heart there, that His love will reach them too, because Allah say He can bring water even out of a rock. Meaning symbolically this, that even the hardest of heart, Allah can soften that heart and make that heart begin to love again. Allah got the power to do that. We don't. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, it was a beautiful experience, and what you were saying is true. You know that? We know it's not, but in this world, people, they got two types of righteousness. They talk about the righteousness of the Creator. I'm going to just say the Creator for lack of people on the argue about the name of the Creator, okay? They talk about the Creator and say He's all righteous, especially Christians. They say God is all good all the time, okay? So, therefore, Allah being all righteous and all good, there is no good that nothing He created can have except that He, Allah, give it some of His goodness. Anything that don't have the goodness of Allah in it is dead. That's why the material world and our physical life as an animal is really dead. It's dead. It's not as dead life. It's not alive. And another example of what you just said, it's in the point, too. You know, people call righteousness what they do and what they say. Anytime I had to learn, and my ex-wife, may Allah peace be with her and grant her the good of this life and the good of Jenna, when we was married, she helped me to learn, through the grace of Allah, many things, you know, and I appreciate that. May Allah bless her for that. One of the things is this. She said, you know, the more humility you grow, the more Allah going to use you and to do great works. And sure enough, she was right. Also, Allah said we can't even approach him unless we approach him in humility. This is the reason why, and this is to your point, the greatest picture of humility, I don't know if you all agree, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. The greatest picture of humility we can see among the human race is a baby, a newborn baby. You can't see a picture of humility better than a newborn baby. And see, most of us, all of us, I would say most all of us, we get away from that baby nature. Look, why did I say the baby nature? The baby knows no evil, sees no evil, and do no evil. The baby is an angel. What are angels? Angels are creatures that have no will of their own. They only follow the will of Allah. Allah's will is their will. So that baby don't have a will of its own yet to choose right from wrong. So the baby is an angel. So our baby nature is what we got to bring back to Allah. We got to try to keep in this world and die physically with that baby nature in our heart and soul. And that baby nature is good, because Allah said when he created us as a body, he said then he inspired. They say breathe, but ain't no breathing. Allah ain't no human being. He inspired some of his divine inspiration of life into the heart of the human being, and it gave us what? Human life, and he said it made us what? A living soul. So listen at that carefully. Allah said our life is as what? Living souls, not as a living body. You see? So, you know, I hope that you all are following me. And like the man said, Allah says on the day, and I'm through a Yom Kippur, resurrection and judgment, he said there are going to be people, most of the people, Muslim, Christian, Jews, whatever you call yourself, it don't matter. You're a human being. He said most of all the people on the day of judgment, he said they're going to be in lines, in rows of thousands, of thousands. And he said out of every 1,000 persons in that line, only one person out of that 1,000 going to go to heaven, and the other 999 is going straight into the hellfire. And, you know, of course, the believers, you know, they wanted to know, Allah, why is this? This is what our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he taught the believers. He said, they said, why, O messenger of Allah, do Allah say he going to do that? And the messenger, the prophet of Allah, the last prophet and the greatest of the prophets, Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, it's not because they didn't do good. He said, first of all, they did, he said, starting with the Muslims, they did a lot of good deeds. He said, some of them, they did masjids. Yeah, things like this. He said, they did good as great as a mountain. They did a lot of good, a lot of extra good. They made their prayers on time, the best they could. They fast. They fulfilled gave in charity all the obligations I required of them. They did all those things. And the Christians, some of them, a lot of them did the same thing. A large number, most Christians did it. Most Jews did it. And he said most Buddhists, into all people standing in that line waiting to see what their judgment is going to be. And he said most, not one out of every 1,000 going to hell. And this is the reason. This is very important. Please don't forget this. He said, because all the good they did and all the obedience they called themselves doing and obeying him, he said they wasn't doing it with the right intentions. He said their intentions was not to please him. Their intentions was that people might speak good of them and say, oh, man, you know that brother and them, they built a masjid. Them Christians, man, they feed people all the time. Man, them Jews, they gave a lot of money to people. And, man, they just did a lot of good, man. And he said it's going to be because people, they did all the good they did, the 999, for self-glory and not for the glory of Allah alone, to whom all glory and all praise is due. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum as-salam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shaheed Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. And again, we want to thank you, our radio listening audience, and to just remind you also, if there is anyone in the audience out there who's listening and you want to comment, you want to ask questions and join us in some feedback, push the number one button on your phone. Your number will show up in the studio, and we would love to have you join us. Again, I want to, without delay, we have so many people who have come on, and I don't want to hold them up. We're going to get call another number here. And that number is 919 number we have this time. A 919-717-2047. Would you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Larry.
Walaikum salam.
Calling out of Berlin, North Carolina.
Salam, Larry. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you.
So good to hear your voice as usual.
Yes, it's good to hear the message and good to hear you all's voice as well. A powerful sermon this morning, a powerful teaching this morning. But I would like to just listen in a little longer. I just came on, and so I would like to listen in, but I'd certainly like to give my greetings to all you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Larry, and we thank you for just being on and joining us, our brother, and we pray that you and your family have a wonderful day today. It's a beautiful day. Every day is a beautiful day when you have love for your Creator, and you have love for your soul, and you have love for the soul of all mankind, which is one soul. Assalamu alaikum.
All right, that was Brother Larry, and he wants to listen a little today rather than comment right now, and we're just glad to have him join us. Listening or coming. And anytime, we'll hear from you, Brother Larry, anytime and always. We're going to call another number now that's been on here for a while, and that's the 202 number, 202-492-4682. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from?
Yes, awesome, Link. I'm Brenda. I'm calling from Washington, D.C. My battery is low. Yeah, my battery is low, so I just have to be quick. I wanted to say, well, I tuned in late, but I did hear part of the first brother that was talking. As far as, like, if you're living your life conscious of pleasing Allah, doing the right things, you know, doing what He asks you to do, I think that if someone asks you how you're feeling, then, you know, you can't say that you're feeling better than good, because you know that you're living your life with a sincere heart. You're living your life trying to please Allah. And Allah says that when you obey Him, when you do what you're supposed to do, then He will reward you with peace and no fear or grief or whatever. So when you're feeling like that, when you're living like that, you better than good. So I don't see anything wrong with someone saying, and if their intention is sincere, obviously, but I don't see anything wrong with someone saying that they feel better than good. You should feel better than good if you know that you're pleasing Allah. So that was one of the things that that I wanted to say. I mean, it was a couple other things, but that was basically, you know, what I wanted to say. And it is important to have the right intentions, but like myself, the way I live my life, I feel better than good, although if someone asks me how I feel, I'll say I feel good, or I feel great, or alhamdulillah, or something, but it's nothing wrong with saying that you feel better than good.
Thank you. We will leave that comment for we will leave that for the person who expresses themselves in that respect. I think they're coming from the fact that Allah is all good. And if Allah is all good, the Creator is all good, there's nothing beyond good. It's the way the perspective
that's right.
That we're looking.
That's right.
So what the thing was, he said that he had asked someone, you know, how do they feel? How were they doing? Because he said that he was raised, you know, to respect people. And he said that the lady responded by saying, I'm better than good. And he was questioning, criticizing, saying.
No, I was not questioning. I have to interrupt you.
Okay, go ahead. You can interrupt me. But if I get cut off, I didn't cut myself off. My battery died. That's all. So go ahead.
Okay. Yes.
Yes, I think
this is what we call
different perceptions in the way people perceive things, and some people have different levels of understanding. And I think this here is what we are dealing with at this point.
Well, we're not going to let this point stop us from going on. We know Allah is all good, and Allah said in the Quran, all good comes from Him. If you follow the Quran sincerely, like you say, anybody else, Allah says over and over again, all mankind, all good comes from me. All the good that come to you come from me. His grace and mercy, like the Imam said, we don't even know whether we're going to make it to Jannah. If we do all the good we can do, Prophet Muhammad said, don't be satisfied. Do all the extra you can and stay humble, because on that day, it's only Allah going to determine whether your goodness is acceptable to Him. It ain't up to that woman or you or me or nobody else. So I wasn't criticizing that woman, and I left that woman in peace. I said, okay, ma'am, peace be unto you. So nobody attacked me, and I don't defend myself. I did not say I criticize her, and you can't be better than Allah. Allah's all good, and that's going to stand. And if you, sister, continue to seek sincere guidance of Allah, it's in the Quran, then like the sister Isra said, we're on different levels of understanding. I'm an imam, and the other imam is an imam, and we've been blessed to understand this deen on a higher level than a lot of people. Like Sister Issa said, I have been all over this country traveling in the streets like the prophets and messengers, and Allah reveals knowledge to me of understanding, because I'm trying to help bring humanity together, and I know that when I do good, it ain't coming from me. It's coming from Allah. All good.
Let me clarify what I meant. I wasn't saying that you were criticizing the person. I was saying, when you were telling us about what she said, you were criticizing what she was saying. Not that you criticized her. You didn't say what you said in response to her. But I'm saying the idea that you were responding to us, to the listeners, criticizing her by saying, you know, how could she be good, or, you know, criticizing the fact that...
No, how could she be better than good? Get it right. Get it right, sister. She can't be better than good. You can and I can and nobody else. Allah is all good.
All right. I know my battery's getting ready to die, so I'm not even going to say anything else. I think we do have a different understanding. And if I had more time...
Yeah, we do.
Because my battery is dying, I will try to talk more about this. But anyway, maybe another time
yeah.
we could talk.
Yeah, come back on. We can talk about it.
Yeah, because we do. I'm listening to some of the things that you're saying. Some is good, and some. You know, it is clear that we do have a different understanding. And it doesn't matter whether you're an imam or not.
It's
about a person's understanding and their willingness to please Allah. I know imams that really should not even be calling themselves an imam. You know, and you're not going to be criticizing them. How can you do that? Yes, you can. Just because you're an imam that you have more understanding than somebody else. That's all. That
yes,
was the
can.
Only point that I was making. But,
oh,
but
yes,
I,
you
I
can.
Make a, but also to make them.
I think what he will be trying to say is that if the law is all good, then for someone to say that they are better than good is saying that they are better than the law because they are
that's
better
exactly
than
right. That's what they're saying. That's not what they're saying. They're talking
it
about
is
how
what
they're
saying.
Feeling. You can, if you're,
no,
if you're
that's what they're saying.
In a peaceful way, then you can
feel better
than good. But anyway, okay,
no,
I'm from Lake
cannot.
God. Yes,
well,
okay.
We'll talk another time.
Right.
I want to talk to you another time. Walaikum salam.
Well, thanks for coming on. That is what you have. I guess this is letting me out to be able to express them. And there was a saying like, can we can talk together, express our differences. I've forgotten now. But yes, this is what the whole thing idea is about, that people are of different opinions on different levels. And we need to hear from each other to see exactly what it is that we are thinking and how we're proceeding so that we can better share our way of understanding with the other person as we try to understand them. All right, let's give you now, that was Sister Brenda from out of Washington, D.C. She said her barriers going low. Of course, she had quite a different understanding of perspective, and there might be others out there, the understanding that she has. But as we can see, if the law of our feet is all good, then there's nothing better than a law, so there couldn't be anything better than good.
Absolutely
I
not.
That way. But again, as you can see, there are others who just don't see it from that point of view. So
that's
we
right.
need to always realize that we can't satisfy everybody. We can't explain things to everybody.
That's exactly right.
They have to see and understand for themselves.
Exactly.
All right, let's get back to Imam Shaheed Shabazz, and we'll have him to give us some more of the teachings, and then we'll have others to comment.
Okay, going back to the teaching, first of all, I want to apologize to the radio listening audience to, you know, us talking together, but as a host, my name is Shaheed. Shaheed in Arabic means the witness of Allah or the Creator. If anybody say in it, and also Shaheed, if you look up the meaning, it means one who upholds the first principle or pillar of faith for all people. What is that pillar? La ilaha illallah, that there's no God but Allah. There's no greater but Allah. I have to do that. And whether you like it, criticize me, I don't really, frankly speaking, I don't care. Because I'm going to uphold the principles of Quran. And I got an imam on here. If I say anything incorrect, I stand to be corrected by people who have wisdom and knowledge. And the sister said we're not supposed to follow leadership. In the Quran, Prophet Muhammad, peace and peace be upon him, said we are to follow those rightly guided in this way of life. So she was wrong there too. You are supposed to follow leadership. Suppose we, and that's why the world is messed up now. And she was talking about imams that ain't right. She ain't got nothing to do with them. She need to be concentrating on getting herself right with Allah, because on the day of judgment, ain't no imam going to be able to speak for her or against her. She going to be incriminating her own self by her own words and her own actions and deeds. Allah say, we not going to get any help outside of what's in our heart, intentions, the tablets of our heart. So she's going to be judged, and I'm going to be judged as an individual, and you all. So I wanted to clear that up first, because I don't back up off anything I said. I know for a fact what I said in response to her was true. She, first of all, she wasn't there. And first of all, she can't be no God and tell me that there's, I know what she was trying to say. You got people that say, oh, I'm better than good. You know, I got peace. I ain't got no words and all that. That ain't nothing but ludicrous. How you going to go beyond Allah? That's what the brother man was saying. How are you going to go against what Allah said? And so I'm going to give you another example, and I'm through. It's just like Allah, he obligates us to fast 30 days during Ramadan. He give us things that we ought to do during the fast. Okay? But Allah say, if you through the month of Ramadan, my fast month, are lying and slandering and backbiting people, he said he don't care nothing about your fast. You might as well go ahead on and eat and drink all day, all night like you want, because he don't accept your fast. So this is what I'm trying to bring about, say, I'm not trying really, Allah blessing me to say, obedience to Allah is what the sister was really, really rebelling against. It wasn't rebelling against me as a host or the co-host. She was rebelling against her own creator, and because she's not humble, I could hear the arrogance in her. I could hear it. And there ain't no arrogance in me, period, as far as me. I ask Allah to keep me humble all the time. And I study Quran all the time. Over 44 years, like the sister said, I've been studying the Quran. I was married to the co-host. She's seen how I live, and she know and I know that I'm one of the doers of good all the time. You understand? So any good that I do, though, I say, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. So I'm through. I mean, I don't want to hold this up, give others an opportunity, but I want people to know the sister was absolutely incorrect. That is not in Islam that you can be better than good means being better than God. I'm through. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. All right. We do have some guests here today. Again, I'm going to go back to and give them a chance. At this point, I think let's try Brother Larry here and see if he might have a comment this time. Brother Larry, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, is there anything
I would like to say, brother, ma'am, because we've been knowing each other a long time, and I don't know what the sister's intention was, but I would say that we should try to do our best, and I'm not saying that you are not, and I'm just speaking from my experience. We should try to do our best, and I hope the sister's listening. We should try to do our best to understand people as best we can and as humble as we can. And because, you know, when we don't have to agree, but when we don't try to come to a mutual, some kind of understanding, humbly enough, we do push people away from us, and we do, people will, will walk away with a criticized or a misunderstood point of view or attitude. So, I mean, I don't think we should, we shouldn't agree. But we should, there's a thing that they agree to disagree. I hope the sister's still listening. And I would like for her, I would like to hear her come back on at another day and time, if that be the case. And our brother, continue to do your work and continue to, continue to seek the guidance of Allah.
You got it. You can rest assured, just as sure as I was born and I'm going to die, I'm going to stick to what Allah say and His Prophet Muhammad. And whether you or anybody else agree, you got to put in work, man. In order to get understanding, you got a lot of suffering and sacrificing you got to do. Most people do not have understanding, and therefore Allah even say that in the Quran that people like the sister will tell people that have better understanding than they do what Allah said all about that. And he said they are absolutely wrong. I'm always talking to you, yes, but I'm always bringing you back. If I see you go one way that Allah say, no, don't go past this boundary, you call me the reminder. So I'm always doing what? Reminding you. This is what Allah say, not me. So that's what I was doing. And if she come back on, and let me say this right here. Allah say you can argue in the Quran, but he say you can argue intelligently. I was arguing with her intelligently, but she was so rebellious because I could feel it and hear it. The lady last night was so rebellious. I was very peaceful, speaking to the lady with love, with peace, respect, and she came on with a nasty attitude. And Allah speaks about people like that in the Quran. So I merely just said, okay, sister, you know, we have a different understanding. I said peace and walked away. That's what my creator told me to do. So I'm not going to change next week if I live to see next week or until I die about what Allah and Sister Islam and myself have said already, that Allah is all good and you cannot be better than good. How are you going to be better than good? You can answer that. I want you to answer that for me since you was leaning towards what you just said about us criticizing. And that sister is already a Muslim. And if she wasn't already a Muslim, the sister last night, how could she, all the other people there at the Kwanzaa, guess what? They was coming up to me. They weren't even Muslim. Some of them giving me the greetings. They were showing me love. They was telling me how humble I was and everything. Now, this one individual, and I ain't condemning her, she had a bad attitude. You can have a bad attitude. Me and you have had confrontations because you didn't agree with something I was saying, and we was arguing, but we weren't coming to no consensus or agreement, so it was best to just end that and, like you say, cool off, wait till a later time, and let Allah deal with both our heart and souls, and then come back to what Allah said, and Allah said forgive each other, overlook each other's faults, cover each other's faults. So I was not condemning the lady at all or criticizing her. All I was saying, and I stand firm on it till I die again, you cannot be better than Allah, and Allah is all good. And I don't even hear many people saying something absurd like that. If you said, you would be speaking out of absurdity, ignorance. That's all I want to say right now. I want Brother Imam Kareem to come on if he's still on and get some comments.
At this point, yes, I think I'm trying to stick to the subject. And what I'm hearing here is that I know we all have different perspectives again, different understandings, different ways of seeing things. But I don't prefer the term understanding to attitude and all, you know. I think that and this is how we learn, I say, and grow from each other, to realize that law is the only one who judges. And we can say, I know this and that, you don't know, you know this and that, and I don't know. But the bottom line is that we don't, none of us know anything, only Allah really knows. And it will be the day of judgment, she said, when we'll understand a lot of things we thought we knew and we were so right about. We will find out things we were not right about according to Allah. And then things that we thought we were wrong about, we'll find out that, hey, we were right about that. So we want to learn to respect each other's opinion and perspective on things, and to just again humble ourselves, you like say, and cover each other, what we might call faults, cover each other's faults. And there are some specific things that are outright faults, but in expressions and all, we really have to leave things to Allah to say whether who's right and who's wrong about their understanding of the words. Again, we do have another person here again, another brother, excuse me, a beautiful brother in there that has not spoken in a while. We will have him to come back on, and that's our Imam Abdul Kareem. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Am I on? Can you hear me?
Yes,
sir.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, alhamdulillah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alhamdulillah. In alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu rasulullah. A'udhu billahi min bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. So, I mean, alhamdulillah, a vibrant, lively discussion. I hope, you know, my dua would be that, you know, no one left without hearing the other person's side and opinion, and everyone stays open-minded. some things in this deen, alhamdulillah, I mean, some things are big mistakes and some things are small mistakes. And you have to listen so that you can make sure that something that you think is a small mistake is not a big mistake. And, you know, something that you might think it's you better off the other way, thinking something that's that you do that's small is a big mistake, and thinking something that you do is big is a small mistake. But alhamdulillah, you try to learn, and listening is, you know, we have two ears and one mouth, so it's important for us to listen more so than we even speak. And, you know, and there was a lot of points made on both sides. So alhamdulillah, I just want to say that a couple of points. First, if somebody is an imam, or even better, somebody is a scholar, you know, or even better, somebody is a sheikh or something like that, you know, you got to listen, you know, alhamdulillah. You don't have to agree, because you could always find another scholar or sheikh or imam that has a different opinion. But you always try to listen, because, you know, you can't just oppose somebody who either has a leadership position or someone who has studied or something. You have to kind of listen more. And it takes some humility, some humbleness, alhamdulillah. So, you know, and of course us or anybody who tries to teach or is in a position where they're teaching has to, you know, kind of find a way to get across to people so that they could listen. Because I know some people who really need to listen, and when I come across to them a certain way, they're not hearing anything I say. And I say that because I know a brother who could come to the masjid and he could say, La ilaha illallah, and everybody put their fingers in his ears and not want to hear it, because that's because of where he's always coming from, is the way he's always coming at people. So you could have the best information, and it may not come across to somebody, or you could be on the other side making a big mistake and thinking that it's something that's small and not listening to somebody who tells you that that's a big mistake. You know, that's a loaded handgun that you're playing with. I'm trying to tell you to put it down, and you're trying to tell me, oh, I can handle it. It's light. It only weighs a pound or 2 pounds. And so you're going to blow your own head off if you're not careful. So correcting, you know, it takes humility. When I make a mistake and somebody close to me corrects me, it's beautiful for me, because I'm able to say, alhamdulillah, that mistake I was making might have, you know, even though my intentions were correct, you get correct on your intentions, but when you know the truth, you can correctly go approach that. So now your intentions are even multiplied. Now your good reward is even multiplied further. And some things are bigger, you know, like somebody who doesn't, a lay person, you know, they say, oh, the Quran is created or the Quran is not created. But the scholars came down and said, hey, that's a big deal. Don't make that a small deal. The Kalam, the speech of Allah, is not created, you know. So a lay person might just say, okay, I'm not going to really touch that subject because it's above my head, and I'm going to go with what the scholars say. I'm going to go with the sheikhs say, with what the imams say. I'm not going to just push to the side what people of knowledge are telling me is a big mistake just because I think it's trivial. And I'm always going to make sure, for sure, as somebody who, like the imam said earlier, 1 out of 1,000 of us are going to hear La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and respond in a way that pleases Allah. So when you hear that, and somebody, your brother or your sister, is giving you information who says that also, who says La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, you got to listen to what that person's saying before you kind of go off or tell them your opinion or tell them what you think is okay to say or what you don't think is okay to say, because you got to listen to information that comes to you from people who study. So I say all of that to say that it's important. You know, it's important. And I never really looked at the topic. I've heard a lot of people say I'm better than good, which is kind of where this whole thing started. I'm better than good. And I've always said I won't touch that statement with a 10-foot pole. Me, myself, because I've heard from even the Christian tradition when they said to Isa alayhi salam, you're good. And he said, who you calling good? And I'm paraphrasing, who you calling good? Only Allah is good. Don't even call
that's right.
Jesus was saying, don't worship me. Don't even call
that's
me
right.
good. And right, alhamdulillah. And that's,
that would make you know that that word good is bigger than it is when it's translated into English, because Jesus didn't speak English. He spoke Aramaic.
That's right.
Muhammad spoke Arabic. So those words, when somebody translates that word into good, good for us in English, we could just throw that word around real loosely. But in the languages that these were revealed in, we got to be more careful. We have to be more careful. So better than good is not a statement that I would ever use by Allah's mercy, but I didn't really condemn it because I kind of understood the intentions of the people who were saying it. And the sister, I think she was more on the intentions of the people who were saying it more than the fact that the brother's trying to say, hey, be careful with that word. You're playing with something that Allah put some emphasis on, that Allah put some strong, that's a strong word. Don't just go throwing it around lightly. And you saying, well, I'm going to side with people who use it all the time, who don't practice Islam, who don't read Quran. Maybe they don't practice any religion. They just say, I'm better than good, so I'm going to go with them instead of going with somebody who studies Islam, who fears Allah, who, even if they're wrong, they fear Allah. They read Quran and fear Allah. You got to be careful, and it takes some humility, and nobody wants to be wrong, and nobody wants to be talked down to, and I understand all of that. You know, if 8 people come into this room and try to tell me I'm wrong, you know what? 7 of y'all go back outside. Let 1 of y'all come back in, and we'll talk about it. But while 8 people are in this room telling me I'm wrong, I might want to look out. You know, I might want to make a phone call, get some of my people over here to make sure that we're having the same discussion, you know. But if one person comes in, wants to share with me, and that's why I love talking to Muslims, because I know just when I say assalamu alaikum, you making that dua for me, you're going to protect my back. You're not going to backbite and tear me up, and when I hang up, chew me up, because you fear Allah and I fear Allah. So even just our opening statement to each other lets me know that you, inshallah, have my best intention. And if you want for yourself what you want, if you want for your brother what you want for yourself, you're going to try to find a way to talk to me. And for me, that's so important, because I could be different. You know, I need brotherly love. I need brotherly love, you know. So it's important for me to stick with Muslims because I know their intentions. And I have a lot of non-Muslim people who I love and I care about, and I have to let a lot of things go that they say and do, because it would be far from my Islam to say or do what they're saying and doing. But I understand that they don't know what I know, or they haven't read what I've read, or they don't look at it the same way. So, mashallah. The small mistakes are one thing, but if they're a big mistake and somebody's telling you, hey, this could be a big mistake, please, I pray that everybody who's listening to this station, to this outreach that's going on right now, when somebody tells you something is a big mistake, at least listen. You might grow from it. Worst case, you might grow. Best case, you might just disagree, and you could say, okay, I don't agree, and I'll leave it for another time. But if you're playing with a loaded handgun and somebody's telling you, be careful, put that thing down, it'll blow your head off. And you say, nah, my friend has one. Okay, I got to get out the way, because you might blow my head off by accident. You know, so it's important to listen. And imam, there's a title that comes with imam. There's some responsibility that comes with imam. There's responsibility that comes with sheikh. There's responsibility that comes with scholar. And you don't just kick that to the curb. It's important, you know. So
that's right.
I didn't want the title. I'm not looking for the title. I'm still afraid that I even have the title of imam. And I asked the imam one-on-one, you sure you want me to? And he's sure, so that's the only reason. Because when the leader of the community says something, if it's not haram, you do it and you follow it and you help as much as you can. So I try. But you don't just kick that title to the curb. I have to be patient when I talk to people. And when I say something, they may want to listen more so than if their cousin down the street says it, who doesn't read the same book that we read, who doesn't practice what we practice, because it may have a little bit more weight in their acura, their hereafter, which is what this whole conversation is about. When you face death, which we all going to face, you can't say, well, I did this because the guy at the gas station did this. Was the guy at the gas station your imam or your sheikh or your scholar? Or did you read it in a book, Quran, Hadith, Sunnah, Bukhari, Muslim? Did you read it, Abu Dawood? Did you read it in one of these books? Where did you get that information? Okay, subhanAllah. So I just want to, again, thank you. Listening benefits the believer. I pray in my du'as that everybody gets the good from this conversation, and let's go of anything that was negative from this conversation, and I'll pass it back to the imam. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you very much, Brother Imam Abdul Karim. That was very well put. And I'm going to conclude by saying this right here. I hope this right here reaches down into all the people, soul that's listening, and your heart. I'm coming to you from my heart and my soul, my eternal spiritual life. There's nothing. We say Allahu Akbar. You can't translate that correctly in English. This is one of the most corrupt languages on the planet. It has no origin, okay, from Allah. So a lot of Muslims and a lot of people say Allahu Akbar, and then they translate it in English as Allah is greatest. I myself was blessed by Allah to correct that years ago and say, wait a minute. If Allah is greatest, like Muhammad Ali used to say, I'm the greatest. Well, why did he get beat if he was the greatest? He got beat by quite a few people. Now, if I'm the greatest, I ain't getting beat. Now, you got somebody you're contending with if you say you're the greatest. And I'm going to end this. So Allah don't mean I'm the great. Allah is great. Is the greatest. It means Allah is greater than all His creation. Also, I want to let the co-host know, like you said, Imam, Allah allows those that are in authority to do exactly what I did on the radio. And the people at the place last night was all inviting me back. They just was taken to me, ma'am, and I was sitting over there humbly. I brought nothing but love there. So the sister was negative, and people can be negative. If we think go around talking about everybody's good and everybody's opinion, Allah says in the Quran, and I'm through. Allah says, whose word can be truer than my word? Not your opinion, Allah says, nor of those of the people of the book. He said, nobody's word will prevail except my word, okay?
Allah.
Except his
yes,
word.
I wanted to let you know, the sister, you know the sister, she had a radio show that she had wanted us to come on one time, that Sister Brenda.
I know.
I
understand.
She's grown up in the masjid and all, but unfortunately, sometimes we get in these positions and we think the only way is our way, the way we know things, and want to criticize others because they might not have this degree or this position that we have.
That's right.
Yes, that's who that sister was. And she seemed to be a very humble sister, and I was really shocked to hear. You know, there's always more than one side to the coin. I've never seen her even suggest that she had this type of mentality that she had, which was an arrogance in. And she always seemed so humble. But yeah, as you can see today, there was a different mentality that came out with her, which really surprised me.
Well, it didn't surprise me because, everybody, I know who you're talking about, and I know the show is over. I just want to say this. I know the sister. I'm not criticizing her, but Allah says we can't approach Him unless we do it in humility. And as you said earlier, if we always understand and accept and show it in our actions, like the Imam said too, we know nothing. You said it. Allah knows all.
That's right.
So that's what we're so we stuck with the title because if you believe that any God is alone, you better than Allah or anything better than Allah, that's shit. That's the highest form of corruption and worship. You will go to hell. So I had to clear that up. So this show still stayed with the point, interview with Def, because Def is interviewing that sister right now, letting her know, could I have listened more at the Imam?
like the ma'am said. And, I mean, it's all about listening. And Allah say, I want the brother Larry to know, too, if he's listening, we can never, and I'll talk to him off the phone, too, about this, never to read the Quran more. You can't have greater knowledge than somebody who dedicated, and like the sister said, years, 20, 30, 40 years reading the Quran, striving to practice what Allah and His Prophet said in the Quran, and you ain't practicing. You've been reading the Quran, but you ain't been practicing. You've been doing what you want to do. Allah said there's different levels of faith, and everybody, and sister said it, everybody ain't on the same level of faith, but one thing, the book that we follow to guide our life, and I'm through, is the Quran and the Sunnah, the life example of Prophet Muhammad, the last prophet of Allah to all mankind. I say that, and I'm going to greet you. Assalamu alaikum. Imam Kareem can close out with prayer.
Walaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. I'll close it, Surah Al-Asr, the same way you started, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
I mean, Surah Al-Fatiha.
I think I said Surah Al-Asr by accident, but that's Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening, the mother of the Quran. And Fatiha means open. Fatiha means an opening. And it opens the Quran. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum assalam. You have been listening to the Sunday broadcast. I'll be Ma'am Chahid Shabab, the reality of the Creator. Thank you for joining us this Sunday. What a beautiful broadcast that we have. And it's always good. When we hear from others, because there's always, this is what we want to clarify and maybe help each other with, is understanding what the teachings are and why they are and how the best perspective on them. So this is what we're all about, to share our differences. And we thank Allah for the show today, a beautiful show, a beautiful discussion. May Allah go with you and bless you with a pleasant evening. I sound like this. Come on, hey.